Now, so far, we have covered regeneration in one meeting, and we covered baptism in one meeting. That's all we could do because, you know, there was a lot of action in a divine way and a lot of things going on and so forth. So I didn't expect that much, but a lot came out, and it was in between the college conference, so things worked out very well. Now, after regeneration, which is the triune God himself being born into you, specifically in your spirit, and giving you regeneration, now you have this wonderful triune God who has now become your all. He is now inside of you. That is regeneration. Christ lives in you. See, and this we covered. We saw a lot of things there. Then we saw the second little step. Regeneration is the major step, but you should follow it up with the, I would say, the very decisive step of baptism, which is a baptism into the triune God, into Christ, into his death, even into the body of Christ. So many things covered. All the negative is gone. All the positive is brought in. You are positioned as a member of the body of Christ to drink the same spirit as all the saints drink that have been regenerated by God. So this is a wonderful thing. It's not small. I think I'm pretty sure the Lord has honored every single baptism, because a lot of stress was put that a baptism results from a direct speaking of the Lord to you. This is the basis of the Christian life. God himself speaks to us, and in that way we go on, you see. So this was not just a bunch of people deciding, I think I'll just get wet, right? This is some speaking related to the triune God, the body of Christ, the death of Christ, or what would I leave out? Anyway, one of the four things that we covered in baptism. Now, if you do all that, you are brought and positioned, and you are, I don't know the best way to say it. It's like you have become located by God and placed by God in a particular way. I mean, if he knows the hairs on your head and he can count them, then consider, and this is just a physical knowing of the hairs on your head, right? Consider the detail, the preciseness, the exquisite nature of him taking us spiritually and placing us in the body as it would please him. Think of it. You see, this is not just a kind of a, you know, a kind of a general thing, just a big thing. He has really located our home now as a member of the body of Christ, and we were baptized into the body, and now we are in that position, and that qualifies us as a member to drink the Spirit all the time. We are drinkers of the Spirit. You read 1 Corinthians 12:13. You see, in this one body, we've been positioned. The one Spirit has baptized us into his body, and he's also made us to drink of one Spirit. So now we participate in the drinking. We are qualified. We're located. We've taken the message of John, which is to bury the old, and we've taken the message of Christ, which is to bring in the new life, and we've done both of these. We've said no to Satan and yes to the triune God, and now that is why we are the Lord's people positioned to drink.
Amen.
Okay, this drinking means everything. Don't think it's a light thing. This drinking of the Spirit is now what we do and will continue to do for not a short period of time, but for a long, long, long time until we just run out of time. Then we will have a kind of a huge boost in our drinking ability for eternity. Because it does say there's a river flowing there. and we drink. Yeah. You see, the highlight of today's age is drinking. But we have a limited capacity. We can't just drink in the whole Pacific Ocean, can we? No. But you know what? In eternity, we're going to have enough. I can't use the word time because it's not there. But if you can just project it to infinity, you finally can get around to swallowing the whole Pacific Ocean, can't you? That's what our future is, you see. Think about it. And, you know, when you've finally polished off the Pacific Ocean, you're just getting warmed up. It's mind-boggling. Okay, but drinking is our destiny. It's our future. It's the way we now experience and know Christ practically is by touching Him as a drink of water, as a food spiritually, even as air that we breathe. We just take Him in, and all of this brings us to the meaning of tonight's outline, which is fellowship. Yeah. The drinking, the eating, the breathing, the enjoyment, the taking in is all in the line of fellowship. Fellowship is what we do. This word fellowship has to be recovered by God's people until it means what it really reveals in the Word. What is that? That is a communion, a contact. A definite spiritual contact of our spirit with the divine spirit. It is a mingling of these spirits. Yes. It is a fellowship of these spirits. It's a wonderful relationship of these spirits. This is a fellowship, you see. It is not a thing you go to. It's not a thing you try every once in a while. It is a condition that we now are in as a result of regeneration and baptism. We are in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So, you know, I put on here number one, fellowshipping with the Lord with openness and transparency. The way to have good fellowship is always to be open. Be open. And always to be what? Not hiding things. You have to open our whole being to the Lord. To fellowship is not just I commune with my spirit, you see. You can do this. You can do this. You know, there's grounds to do this in 1 Corinthians 13. You can have a fellowship in your spirit and not be fruitful in your understanding because you're just speaking in something that you don't understand. Okay? It could build up yourself somewhat, but it is not the depths of the fellowship. It's not the main thing. And what we need to be recovered to is the main thing. That is, we would have an openness and a transparency that allows us to fellowship with the Lord. Okay? You know, God's nature is golden. That's the nature of God. Gold represents the nature of God. Do you know that gold... Pure gold has never really been seen on this earth. Because you know what happens to gold when it's really, really purified, which we're not capable. We don't have the capability to take everything out of it. Therefore, what remains gives it a very yellowish golden hue. But if you could take every alloy out of it and just have pure, unadulterated, unsullied gold left, you know what color it would be? It would be colorless. You could see through it. That's transparency. And that's why the city of God mentioned in Revelation, you know, the city, the New Jerusalem, this city is a transparent city because it is clear as crystal. The divine nature does not obstruct anything there. It is clear as crystal. And this must be our experience, to be open and to be clear and transparent. The reason I chose these words, I just want you to really realize that from now on, our fellowship with the Lord is one that when we open our being to the Lord, we should always open our spirit up to the Lord. But you know, you can't really open your spirit that much to the Lord if you don't also open your whole being to the Lord, your heart. You see, you have to open your being to the Lord. This is substantially speaking, your heart is just open to the Lord. Lord, I just open my... Have you had a time this week with the Lord? You just spent a personal time with Him and you just said, Lord, I'm open to You. My whole being. I open right now. I choose to open my whole being. I'm not hiding. I'm open for... If You want to speak to me, You just speak any kind of way You want to. You see, I'm open to You. I open my spirit. You know, right then is when your spirit starts to kind of bounce around a little bit. Because why? That puts you in the most favorable condition to contact the triune God, who is spirit.
Amen.
Right? Okay, so we need to fellowship with the Lord in this kind of way. Now, some verses to substantiate this. I just put some verses. You could have... hundreds of good verses here. But anyway, in 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, God is faithful. This is God. He is faithful. Through whom? This is all God's doing. Through whom you were called into what? The fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You were called. This is your calling. You can say, well, I'm called into what? You're called into something that is... in its very essence, in reduced to its most common denominator, it's the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you can say, I'm called into the triune God. I'm called into the purpose of God. I'm called into the church. I'm called into the body of Christ. All of this is right. But if you don't have the essence of fellowship, which is the reality of Him, then you can't really... you can't really touch these other divine things. Do you follow me? The essence of everything is based on fellowship.
Yes,
and what is fellowship? It's our spirit contacting the divine spirit so that we drink Him, eat Him, breathe Him, touch Him, realize Him, actuate Him, whatever word you want to say that connotes the reality of Christ. Okay? This is what fellowship is. And it's your calling. You are called into... this is God's great calling. Okay? That you would just have this relationship, which is totally spiritual.
Yeah.
That you would have this relationship with Him, beginning with regeneration and lasting for eternity. Right? Isn't this what our calling is? Okay, so now we eat and drink Him. Okay, Luke 8:15 says, but that which is the good earth, this is where the seed is sown, and we, our hearts, are likened to earth, okay? And so there's different kinds of earth. But there's one kind that really is good. I mean, really is useful to the Lord, good for the Lord, helpful for the Lord, and lines up with God's eternal purpose, and that is the good earth. The good earth is our heart, okay? The seed goes into good ground, good earth.
Yeah.
See, a farmer's delight is not to plow up rocks and stones and thorns and thistles and all kind of things that compete with what he wants to plant. But if he can just turn up good, solid, unused, and, you know, very full of nutrient, nitrogen-filled earth, then you got it. You're going to grow something really good.
That's right.
Okay? All you need is some sunshine, some water, and whatever seeds you drop, it will grow. Okay? So Paul said, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, but God made to grow. See, he was a farmer in his concept. Okay. Now, we are the good... We need to all the time repent to the Lord, to every day have an experience of clearing out anything in the soil of our being so that it's always good soil, good ground. Today, my heart is a good place for the Lord to do a growing work.
Amen.
In my being, right? Okay. And then he says, these are those who in a noble and good heart hear the word. Hear the word. You see, hearing is really a big thing. Hearing is what causes faith to come. Hearing is the beginning of the experience of Christ. We hear the word.
Yeah.
You see, it's like John says in John 10, we hear his voice.
Yeah.
And live. Well, here, the voice is the word. Many times, his voice is the voice of hearing his word. You see? And a noble and good heart is good ground because it can hear. You see? If you want to check whether or not your soil is good and adequate and so forth, just ask yourself, Is it a hearing ground? Can I hear the voice of the Lord? Can he speak and can I hear? He's a speaking God. You can believe that. And so he needs to raise up hearing people.
Amen.
That hear his word. And so the heart needs to be open, clear, transparent, you see. And with this kind of openness to him, then, you know, hearing is just there. Hearing is there. Don't worry about the hearing. If you open your being by faith to contact him, you see, hearing comes. And the more you hear, the more faith comes. The more faith comes, the more hearing comes. I'm telling you, it just keeps going on and on like this, you see. Just open your being. He's so willing to speak to you.
Yeah.
Open the being. Open the word in your hand. Contact him. Breathe him in the word. Just inhale him. You see, you can do this with only one person in the universe, and that's Christ as a life-giving spirit. You can inhale that person into your being. Okay? Anyway, they hear the word, hold it fast, and then they bear fruit with endurance. This is a person that takes this living word in as the reality of Christ. Otherwise, you could never, ever bear fruit with endurance. Fruit in your own being and fruit in others, you can't do it. You cannot do it. I promise you, you cannot do it. You must receive the implanted word.
Amen.
You see, this is a fellowship. Enjoy this fellowship. Just contact him. Enjoy him. You know, one word I would just mention here. It's the word noble, and this word is not it's not that easy to translate, and we translate it noble. But if you read some other versions, like King James, I know from memory that this word is the word honest. Which is close to noble. You see, it's not a noble heart is an honest heart.
Yeah.
It's an honest thing. See,
right.
And you know what? There's only one person that reacts to honesty with the prevailing response that is there, and that's Christ. If we are open and honest with him, it just opens the doors. You see, just to say, Lord, you know, you know me. I'm not hiding. You know where I am. You know everything is laid bare before you. You know the secrets. You know secrets about me that I don't even know, and I know a whole lot. But you know everything. I just open everything. Lord, I just have to tell you today, I'm starting today, but I'm really so nervous about what I have to do today. I'm so nervous. I'm anxious. And I don't know if I can even fellowship with you right now because I'm so anxious. You know what? That honesty just may give you the prevailing response of grace that you could allow you to have a very, very fine day in the Spirit. Okay? Just be honest and open and transparent. And he just responds. He doesn't look for us to be good, perfect, improved. He looks for us to be true, open, honest, transparent. This is what he's looking for. When we seek him like that, we will find him. Galatians 2:20, this is where Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Then he says, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So I just threw this in here because, every time I read this verse or think of this verse, I think of this mixed up relationship. It's not Christ, it's not Paul, it's Paul, but it's Christ. And eventually you come to the conclusion, an old Paul died and a new Paul was resurrected with the essence of Christ. And it even says Christ lives. But he doesn't say, it doesn't stop there. Right. It says Christ lives in me, which makes Paul a participant in this relationship.
Right.
Do you see? So it's so mixed up. It's just mingling of two lives to an extent that you can't say, is this Paul or Christ? It's not totally either one. It is a mingling of both lives. You see? If you just apply the cross and let Christ live in the rest of what's left, then you will have a living contact, fellowship, and a living walk with him. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay. John 5:30 says, I can do nothing from myself. The Lord says in John 5, and there are many verses, not many, but there's a number of verses like this, where he says, I do nothing, and it should, literally say, out from myself. So the source is not his humanity. He came as a son of man, but he stood on that ground so that he could live by the divine life, just like we're men, and we can live by the divine life.
Right.
You see? So he says, I can do nothing out from myself. As I hear, I judge. You see? If you just apply the cross and let Christ live in the rest of what's left, then you will have a living contact, fellowship, and a living walk with him. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay. John 5:30 says, I can do nothing from myself. The Lord says in John 5, and there are many verses, not many, but there's a number of verses like this, where he says, I do nothing, and it should, literally say, out from myself. So the source is not his humanity. He came as a son of man, but he stood on that ground so that he could live by the divine life, just like we're men and we can live by the divine life.
Right.
You see? So he says, I can do nothing out from myself. As I hear, I judge. As I hear, what is this? He's hearing something. What do you call this? He has a life of hearing.
Right.
From who? Who's he listening to? And who is he hearing from? You see, this shows he is in a perpetual state of fellowship with the Father. Right? As I hear, I judge. My opinion is not my own. My opinion is the one I hear from my Father. I am letting him, through me, be everything. I just listen. My job on this earth is to listen and then convey what the Father speaks. You see? Then we get to do that. I know we're not to be compared to the Lord Jesus, but experientially, in the way he experienced the Father, that is to be compared to the way we experience him. See? the way is the same. Then I wanted to put in Hebrews 4:16 because it says, "Let us therefore come forward with boldness to the throne of grace." I learned this verse when I was your age, and this always, I never forgot this verse because this is the most encouraging verse to me about don't ever run away from the throne of grace. The Bible teaches us to come forward with boldness. It says that we, to the throne of grace, that we may receive, what? A slap on the back that we did something really good? No. We need His mercy. And find grace for timely help. Listen to that. We just don't need, you know, we need grace. We need grace measured out to us in a way that will meet our inward need and our outward situation. That only someone who is God Himself can know how to do that. Timely help. How? Okay, Jose, can you give me timely help every day of my life, 24/7? Can you do that? No, you can't. You don't really have a clue. You can only generalize, right? You can't even do that for your wife. You know what else? You really can't even do that for yourself. Okay, so now we see there's only one qualified person who knows everything, knows all things, know all situations, know all everything. And so if we will just go boldly to Him, He will give us the measure of grace that we need at that time for that experience, for that expression of Christ. Could you imagine that we were called into this kind of wonderful, magnificent, and so fine of a relationship with Jesus Christ? That's what fellowship means. See, this is really too wonderful. Okay, but it's available. I'm not worthy. Well, see, that's why this verse is written, to come forward with boldness. You see, and this boldness in the context, you can tell it's related to the blood of Jesus. This is a cleansing element of the blood of Jesus Christ. That is your boldness. It's not today I feel bold because I had good fellowship, I read the word, I felt warm when I read the word, had good prayer, had some good fellowship. Now I feel bold to go to the Lord. You see? Okay, fine. But if that's your boldness, what happens when you didn't read the word warmly and you didn't have good prayer and you didn't have good fellowship with the brothers and you had full of anxiety and somebody just wrecked your car and you broke one of your arms and fractured your leg and all things are just in chaos, then what do you use for boldness? You see? Your boldness must be the blood of Christ. Then at any time, in anywhere, any circumstance, any situation, if you'll just use the blood properly, then you have the boldness. Okay? Not based on anything.
That's right.
Except His work, His accomplishment. Okay. Do you see this general realm we're brought into? Because I want to accentuate it and make it more practical with point number two, which will be all we can cover for tonight. And that is the cycle of this life. I don't want to leave the word fellowship, but I'll bring it in soon enough. You'll see. And this is all revealed in one chapter in the Bible. And this is something. Some of you that have been around a while, you know this. I've known this for decades. But there's a chance that about half, maybe 75% of you here tonight don't know the cycle of life in this wonderful chapter in the Bible. You know, all the chapters in the Bible have some nuggets. You just don't know. You know, it's like the nugget is, you know, to me, so I have so many favorite chapters. So many, because they're just full of nuggets. I just love these nuggets. Well, this is what a favorite chapter. Why? Because of the nuggets that reveal the cycle of life.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, now, Neil, would you open to 1 John? I need you some help and get that little microphone down there. Okay. That will be ready, okay, for his reading. All right, now I'm reading now, okay. 1 John 1, 2. Notice all these verses are from one chapter. And the life was manifested. This is Christ. But it doesn't say Christ, it says the life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and report to you what? Eternal life. This is the divine, eternal, uncreated reality. This is Christ himself. Eternal life. Which was with the Father. See, this shows us a person.
Yes.
Which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Do you know of any other person that was with the Father and then got manifested to us through incarnation other than Jesus Christ? I hope not. If you do know of somebody, then you need to leave us alone, because we will not accept that concept. We reject it with all the staunchness we have. We will reject that, because that's heresy. That is against God. But to say Christ was with the Father and was manifested to us, and we have the Gospels to read about that manifestation, then we have eternal life, which is the manifested life, okay? So if I could, I would like to write here. It doesn't quite matter how you do this, but at least as long as all these nuggets get put in here, I'm going to put life. I'm just going to write big, okay? You see, in this verse, you have to admit that life, eternal life, the manifested life, which was with the Father, this is Christ himself. Isn't it amazing that so much could be said about Christ and not the word Christ or Jesus used? Isn't it amazing? This shows the emphasis on life.
Amen.
Okay. Now, I'm going to take this portion and bring it down to here, because we're cycling. We're going to cycle into a complete circle, okay? Now, in 1 John 1, 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard, we report also to you. Look, we're doing all of this that you may have what?
Fellowship
with us. And indeed, our what? Fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So any other kind of, quote, fellowship is just nothing. It's pitiful. It's just good for the trash can. You should just put it under the water. That is a wrong fellowship. This word fellowship is very popular among Christians. We have the fellowship, even in secular realms, the fellowship of a certain group or society or fraternity or clique or organization. We're in the fellowship of the... No, you're in the fellowship of nothing. Of nothing. When my wife and I were younger, we would drive around and going different places, and we'd see groups of people gathered around for one thing or another. Sometimes it would be a bunch of people on motorcycles just sitting on top of a hill on their motorcycles, doing whatever they do, so forth. All kinds of different people gathering under some other kind of banner, some commonality that they had, that they held together, and they gathered around that.
Yeah.
And so I would always ask my wife, I would just say, What do you think their fellowship is? See? What is their fellowship? Okay. Now, we are called into the fellowship with the body because it says us here. And we're called into the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. Right? So right here, I want to put development in practicality, see? So I want to put fellowship of life. Okay? This is the fellowship. And so this takes us all the way down here. Right here, we stop for the life brings us into the fellowship of life. See the progress in this chapter? What is fellowship? What is it? Well, we just talked about all the things that it is. But I need to tell you a couple of things more. And that is, on one hand, because we are in the society of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is true, spiritually speaking. We're in His club. Okay? We're in His family. We have the common factor of reality, so we can gather and it not be a kind of a stupid thing, see, or a wasted thing. It's a very real, meaningful thing. What we have as a fellowship is got two sides to it. You see, like just like this. See. Okay, on one side, you have the fact that everything that Christ is as God, everything He is as resurrected man, everything He accomplished on His earth in His human living, in His teaching, in His speaking, in His living, everything He did, everything He did not do, all of this is a part of what He is in our being. All of His accomplishment on the cross to deal with sin and sins and negative things, the old creation, even the ordinances and culture and differences, all of that has just been wiped away. That means because we are in His realm, we inherit the benefit of all that. So when we have Him, we have all of His person, work, and accomplishments. Even His resurrection and ascension. You see, the Bible says we are seated together with Him in the heavenlies. We inherited that when we just said, "Oh Lord, come into my heart." Or, "Oh Lord, I open my being to You. Lord, forgive me for my wasted years, but now come in and feel," you know, something to just touch Him. Open your being to Him. And all that allows you to be a participant. You participate in His person, work, and accomplishments. Okay? That's one side. That's this side of the fellowship. Now, this side of the fellowship is how do you participate in that? Well, we said drinking, eating, so forth. This is how you do it. But now I want to use a little different word to make it, I think, a little bit more practical to you. Okay? How do we apply all this thing? Well, in the cycle of life, we have the fellowship of life. And this fellowship, we can say, what is it? What is it? Well, it's everything we've been talking about. But it's also a flow. There is inside of us a flow. This flow is the flow that we receive because we are regenerated and we let everything else go. That gives us access to being in the flowing God all the time. There's a flow inside of you. See, you can illustrate it we've been illustrating this for many, many decades. We do it by saying it's like a current of electricity.
Right.
You see, it's just that flow there. You see, all these lights are shining and giving off an expression of light. But they would not shine if there was not a fellowship of electricity.
Yes.
A what? A current of electricity. It's, if it gets blocked, they just are quenched. Do you follow me? Inside our being, we have a very, I don't know, to use electricity makes you think like getting shocked. This electricity is very, very soft, very simple, very sweet, but also very real. Because if you offend this current, will react and you will lose the flow of life and peace. As long as life and peace is a flowing thing with you, you have life, you have peace. See, I define life. Well, that's kind of hard, but I can define peace. You see, peace is not hard to define. You have peace. Right now, you have peace or you don't have peace. And you've lived long enough on this earth to know that there have been times when you were just, peace was the last thing you had. And you've also had other experiences with the Lord, especially when peace was the main thing you had.
Yeah.
Right? So this is a flow. See, read Romans 8:6. To set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. This is where we get to enter into this fellowship. It's a current, a flow, so forth. Many times it's so sweet, so simple. We just feel peace toward the Lord. But you know what? If something comes in, either through our thought life or our eye gate or our ear gate, or through some kind of temptation or something like that, right away this sweet flowing registers so you can have me continuing as a flow, or I will stop if you go this other way.
That's right.
Is this not your experience? Okay, so you see, that's why we call it the cycle. Now, let's read a little bit more. And this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is what?
Light.
This is the second time. John is the book that tells us what God is. John does this. In his Gospels, he says God is Spirit. In his epistles, he says God is love. And God is light. So we know God is Spirit, love, and light. It's the only things where it says God is something. Okay. Now, aren't you glad I didn't say God is a fanatically stern judge who has very moody days and cloudy feelings and dark depressions? No, God is love, light, and life. That's like a little melody. He's the Spirit to convey love and life into your being through the experience of His Son. That's His economy. Okay, now, so right here, you see, from life, by fellowshipping with this life, we get brought into the experience of light, okay? Okay, it's hard to write below, you know, down lower than, okay, anyway, light is here. Can you see that life comes first. And that life, practically to you and me, is in the form of fellowship.
Yeah.
It's the flow of life. And the flow of life is what enlightens our being. It brings light. In the Gospel of John, he said, if you believe in me, you will not perish, but you will have the light of what? Life. The light of life. A beautiful nugget. I love it. Oh, John is just such a great guy. I know Paul has his special things too, but you know, John is my second favorite writer. I have to admit, John is just so good, you know. But you know, it wouldn't be so good if we didn't have Paul's, you know, prevailing overview and the whole thing. I mean, Paul is magnificent. John is sweet and just intimate. Paul is big and large and sees the scope of the whole universe and can place you in it. And John brings you into touching the reality of it. See? So, light is here. This light is shining. What is it shining? Okay, it shines about a lot of things. What is your conduct like? What kind of conduct do you have? Well, you know, you can't really say. Don't even think about it. Whatever you conjure up is off. Open to the Lord and just let Him, on a daily basis, enlighten you about your conduct, your life, your speech, what you do, your habits, your thinking, your relationship with others, all the things that He wrote about in Matthew 5 through 7, which are all the relationships and principles of the kingdom, that is realized by the experience of the cycle of life. How do we do this? How do we have relationships? You see, it's by this cycle of life. Listen. This light will just come into your being and tell you things. It will just make you into things, into a real reproduction of Christ. It will transform you into the image of Christ. There are not words in the Bible about how you should eat and how you should dress and how, you know, exactly how your hair should be and what kind of eyeglasses you should wear and, you know, and how often you should brush your teeth and all kind of stuff. No, I'm not kidding. If you are in the Spirit, all of that is fair play for Him to speak to you about everything. Things we do. You know, I talk to my wife, and I say things. Sometimes after I speak to my wife, and it may not be a spiritual thing. You know, when you're husband and wife, you have to deal with a lot of things that are human.
Exactly.
Marriage is mostly human.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it needs to be fallen humanity.
Yeah, that's right.
See? But still, it's mostly human. Don't you know that? Well, my wife and I know that it's mostly human, okay? So when I say and I speak and I say, sometimes I go back and I said, Lord, you know, just forgive me, so forth. And maybe my wife didn't pick up on it, but I knew. Instead of the full flow, I did feel a little spiritual reaction. You know, instead of life and peace and brightness, I felt, you know, stopped, you know, a conflict, a dark brown feeling. Well, I don't care what you call it, but anyway, it's not spirit, love, and life, right? And the light is shining, you know, Don't say this is bad. You would never know where you are if you didn't have the light to tell you when you're even out of it in some kind of thing. This is a good sign. It's not good if you rebel against it and just say, "Well, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care what the Lord thinks or who thinks, or I'm just an independent me. Nobody can tell me what to do about this or that or something." Well, okay, fine. Go ahead. You can live your whole life that way. People have done it. Millions, billions have done it. But one day they will bow their knee and say, and confess, not only that Jesus is Lord, but implied in that confession is, "I blew it. He's Lord, and I didn't let him be Lord in me." Okay. Somebody has to live in our being. Is it going to be me, or is it going to be him? Somebody has to live there and set up their habitation there. Okay. Now, in saying this, sometimes, because it's just in me, and my wife didn't have any kind of problem with what I said and so forth, that I could tell. And so I didn't need to say anything to her, but I did need to repent to the Lord. Sometimes I have to repent to her and to the Lord because I offended her. And I have to say sorry. See, and it does no good to say, "I'm right, but I'm sorry." See, right does not have any kind of weight. It's not right. It's not the best way, and so forth. You know, on the way to the meeting, I told my wife about a new way to come that I thought would be shorter. And I realized, if you just say one more word, you're going to start getting into not just a suggestion, but a debate. You better stop. You were wrong. And I did stop. Because I need the flow of life more than I need a debate. What is right? Who cares? I mean, what's the difference in, well, if you really, you know, if you could really do an analytical test and drive cars and, you know, time it with the sophisticated instruments and, you know, in all kind of conditions and say, this way is faster by 17.3 seconds. Human beings live with these kind of conflicts in their being. They just live with them. They just are at odds with this and at odds with that. And so on. I just don't agree that my roommate and my other roommate and my car. When I have enough money, I'm going to buy a car that will never fail. Yeah, all kind of things. You know, the day is coming when I will, when I will not have problems. You're living in the most problem-free days of your life now. Okay. Anyway, the Lord enlightens our being about everything. If you want life, you got to pay the price. You can't just have it in a lackadaisical way. You got to pay the price. Where is the price? Listening to the fellowship and the flow of life. Pay the price to keep it flowing. Okay. Then this will bring light in your being, and you will avoid the things that would snap the current, cut it off, cut the flow off. Okay? But sometimes this light enlightens us to things in our being or in our surroundings that we need to confess and bring to the Lord so that he can deal with them. You know, that's not an interruption of life. That is a growing experience of life, because the light is shining and developing progressively more and more each day, each week, each month, each year. Right? Okay. So now you see light. There's one thing. You see, we have to come all the way back up here. So we have to have something right here. And if we don't have this right here, the cycle will break down. Okay? Now, unfortunately, the verses are listed correctly, but they are not the right verses. I don't know where they came from. But Neil, would you read 1 John 1 and even start with 7? Let's add 7, 8, and 9, okay? Then I'll stop you some. Neil, you had half an hour to find it.
Okay, here we go. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light,
good,
we have fellowship with one another.
Now, right away, again is affirmed that our fellowship is two directions, with the Father, with the Son, vertically, and with his body, horizontally. Mm-hmm. Okay?
And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin.
Then you have the blood. Don't ever forget the blood that cleanses us from how many sins? Every sin. Okay? Read 8.
If we say that we do not have sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
So, very sober word. Don't ever think you have arrived. Oh. You have not arrived. You will not arrive in this age. Hmm. Okay? If you say, I have no sin, you're in darkness.
Right.
Very bad darkness. Go ahead, Neil.
If we confess.
Now, verse 9. 1 John 1, 9. Write it on the inside of your glasses.
Yep.
Or your contact lenses, so that you can always see. 1 John 1, 9. This is the great rebound verse in the whole Bible.
Amen.
The main verse that if you don't do this, then it can wreck the cycle of life and it can ruin your experience of Christ. Mm. Okay, go ahead.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, see here, you have, we still have stuff in our being. And even outwardly speaking, that's something of the world. Sometimes we just make a mistake. We do. Sometimes we say things and it's a mistake. And it's because our being the oldness in our being prevailed, and we spoke, and we did things, or we said things, or we what, you know, it's innumerable how many things we can say, think, or do that are just not according to the divine life. So, many times these kind of things come to us in our daily life. Okay, if they come to us or into our mind, a wrong kind of thought, a lustful kind of a thought, an improper kind of thought, something that is against the nature of God, it comes into our mind. You know, if we can say, Lord, no, I don't want that. I choose life.
Amen.
Then you don't sin. See? But if if you let it, if you dwell on it and it gets into your being somewhat, then that causes the flow to stop. You understand what I'm saying? It's like the birds.
Right.
You see, if they're flying over,
yeah.
If they're flying over, that's not a sin. You can't control the birds flying
right.
over.
Right.
But if they try to nest in your hair,
right.
that's sin. You can control that.
That's right.
So we have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah.
You see, we can't control them, but we can control whether they want to land and
right.
nest. Then that's too much.
Right.
That breaks the fellowship. Okay, you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. So, you see, when you do something to offend your conscience, that is also to offend the Lord. That's why He gave us a conscience, so that we would know when we offend the Lord or not offend the Lord. And He gave us an intuition to know when we are fellowshipping with the Lord and the flow is there and when it's broken. You see, and our conscience and our intuition and our fellowship with Him are all parts of our spirit, you see, and they are so keen. Okay, right here in this cycle, I'm going to put a big X right here. This X means you had an accident right there. I don't know what to say. You did something to displease the Lord. You can say, I sinned. That's okay. Don't think that's too harsh. Sin means is to come short of the glory of God. Don't you think you do things or say things that come short of the glory of God? Okay. Okay. This is a sin right here. Okay. How you react to that sin that you committed outwardly or even mentally or in your heart, whatever, however the Bible talks about all these kinds, then how you respond to that it determines how you go on, you see. Because if you go on in the cycle of life and that sin is not left to become another sin, which is left to become another sin, and then it starts to pile up. And it's like Jerry testified tonight. Sometimes people can go a year
yeah.
or more, and they just piled up so big that the Lord was a million miles away in your realization. Never let number two come. If number two comes, for sure, don't let number three come. Anyway, I don't even like to. This is dangerous to start to let this pile up. So you have to keep a short accounting with the Lord in your walk. Short. This is okay. You sinned, then do something quick. What's quick? Quick is 1 John 1:9. If we confess, you see right here. I'm just going to put this word confess. If we confess. You see, our sins, then He is faithful. And it even says He's righteous. Why would He be righteous? Do you know that part of the new covenant is that He is obligated to forgive us if we confess? He does not have a choice. He is bound yes. by a covenant,
Amen.
An oath.
That
He must confess, that He must forgive and cleanse if we confess. That is as sure as anything in this universe. That's why He's not only faithful, means it'll happen every time, but it's righteous because of the covenant. See? He has to recognize the substitutionary death of Christ for our sins. He's bound to it.
Amen.
So if we confess, then it says He what?
Forgive us.
Huh?
Forgive
He's faithful to forgive our sins and what?
Cleanse.
Look at these words. Confess. No, I shouldn't. Confess. Confess equals forgive. Okay. And what? What else?
Cleanse.
See, don't you appreciate the word cleanse?
Yes.
to forgive. Okay, Jose, I don't have we can't bring drinks in here anymore. If I had a drink of something really, no, is it water?
No. Is it Coke?
Coke, okay, Coke is good. Okay, see, it's got a top on it, so make sure it's on there. Okay, see, if it's open and I just accidentally, oh, I'm sorry, Jose, got all, see how white that shirt is? Look. See, Jose, I am so, so sorry. He says, it's okay, brother, I forgive you. This is like the Lord. This is like God.
Right.
But there's a problem. See, forgiving is one thing. But he's got what? He's got the stain of Coke all over it.
That's right.
So the Lord not only forgives, but he cleanses the stain out. It is a very deep type of forgiving because he removes the stain.
Yes.
And you know he does this. he forgives us and cleanses us from all sin. There's every sin in verse 7 and all sin in verse 9.
Yes.
See, when you confess, see, it's so simple. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, you know, just confess. If you don't even say, cleanse me with your blood, you are still cleansed with the blood.
Right.
It doesn't say, if you confess and say, Lord, cleanse me. No, it just confess, and it just the covenant just is kicked into effect. You see?
Yes.
And he cleanses you from all sin. So if you confess the sin that you did and that you actually know about and are aware of, then you get to be cleansed and are the benefactor of being cleansed from all sin and sins that you don't know about. You see? Because all is included here. You get cleansed from the whole thing. And one day the light will be strong enough in this cycle, because it'll keep cycling and keep getting stronger until another kind of sin will come out and it will be revealed, and you'll get to confess that, and Christ will take the place of that thing in your being. You see? It's quite a wonderful cycle.
Amen.
But you must do this.
Amen.
You cannot leave this step out. You must react to your failure immediately. See, if you do so, then you're brought right back into life and right back into the fellowship of life, right back into the illumination of life. And hopefully next time in this cycle, you won't have an X. But whenever you do have an X, you have to confess. Say, how many times should I confess? It doesn't matter. One through, say, 5,000. Any number is okay. Just, you're in good territory between those two numbers. Okay? Just keep the cycle of life. Who cares? As long as the goal, your heart, your burden, your motive is to be in this fellowship of life. See? Okay. Don't y'all understand this?
Yes.
See? It's beautiful. That's why you have to love 1 John chapter 1.
Yes.
My goodness. Okay. We have time. I'm sorry. I took too much time. But, you know, I was making up for last week because I wasn't here. I had a little time coming. And And next week, you wait till we get into the teaching of the anointing. Oh, you're going to love this. Don't miss next week. Do we have a football game next week? Nebraska? Okay. You have a choice between Nebraska and the teaching of the anointing. I promise, if you go to watch Nebraska, I'm not telling you not to do it, but I'm going to tell you, you're not going to enjoy it. I will tell you that. Sorry, you already have enough divine life to enjoy yourself more here than over there.